caring for us, being affectionate towards us. We bless you, Father God.
Blessing and honor and glory.
bless your name, Father. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory.
And whatever you've had that's had you stuck, that has prevented you from moving forward, and what he has you, he's wanting for you to move forward in, he said now is the time to release it and let it go. He said the anointing is here to break whatever has you bound, whatever has you stuck, whatever has you sitting in procrastination, whatever has been having you sitting in complacency. He said the anointing is here to break that right now. So whatever it is that has you bound, release it. The Lord's saying, release, 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 release now. In the name of Jesus, release.
Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the Lord is saying, I will water every dry place. I will water every dry place. I will water every dry place. And I will cause the withered roots to come alive. I will cause the withered roots to come alive so it can spring forth into life, an abundant life, everlasting life.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
All in the name of Jesus. every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain.
Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Powerful name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Glory.
Yes, I just want to say there is a fresh anointing here. The Spirit of the Living God says there is a fresh anointing right here, right now. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every enslaving yoke.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing, Lord.
Such love, such love.
Yeah, Lord. The Lord says, I have given you my torch to carry to the nations. I have given you my torch to carry to your neighborhoods. I have given you my torch to carry all around your city. Let the fire in my torch burn bright. Let the fire in my torch burn bright. Let the fire in my torch burn brighter
yes.
and brighter and brighter so you can let your light so shine that they will see your good works and they will glorify your Father, which is in
heaven.
Glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Glory. Well, those standing can go ahead and be seated if you like. I was reminded of something earlier that happened when I was in the military. And in the military, at least the way it worked in the Navy, to advance to the next rank, there was a time requirement in every rank. You had to spend so much time. And then you had to pass a test, physical and mental test. And you had to have a recommendation by your senior officers. And then there had to be room. Whatever job you had, there had to be an opening in that job for that rate to advance. And most guys, myself included, I wanted to advance as fast as I could. As soon as that time requirement was up, I wanted to get on to the next level, to the next level. Every level, there was a pay increase. And every level, which was a motivation, and every level, you gained more responsibility and authority, which was also a motivation for me. Because I wanted more money, and I not just the responsibility as so much, but I wanted the authority. And most guys were like that. Most guys, did you notice that in military? Most guys would want to advance and keep advancing and and I remember there was this instance where we had this guy in our unit that was at a particular level longer than I was in the military, and he was below me. And I remember we were kind of talking. It was like, how come you don't, why don't you want to advance? Now, the military is only going to let you stay there for so long, and then they're going to get rid of you if you're not advancing. And he was happy. He arrived at a certain rate and he was happy there. He didn't want to go beyond. He didn't want to go and he didn't want to have any more responsibility. He was pleased. He was happy right where he was. And I felt like the Lord was saying that. It kind of ties into what Brenda's word this morning as well, is so many in the body, they're just happy where they're at. Just, they don't want to change. They don't want to grow anymore. They don't word it like that. Just, everything's okay. Let's just... Change is one of the hardest things for humans. And I really felt the Lord doing that, like, come on. Come on, let's get off that plateau. Let's get off of that place. Let's get moving. So let's just take a minute and just kind of prophesy into that a little bit, not just for our congregation, but the entire body of Christ. Father, we just thank you so much for your powerful words, your prophetic words this morning. May they go deep into our heart and cause a change, Father. May we set our mind to it and our heart to what you're saying and to your word. For you said that we are to live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And so we speak to ourselves, to our congregation, the congregations in this city that we have relationship with. We say, come up, come further, be drawn closer to the Lord, move further, go forward, keep moving, keep pressing on, go further. Do not be happy where you're at. Change your want to I want to. In Jesus' mighty name. If anybody else has that, just speak into that. And glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory. We bless you, Lord. And I just decree that this congregation will not be one that be satisfied where they're at, but will always want to go higher, deeper, further, know the Lord more, be more Christ-like than we are today, more Christ-like than we were at 9 a.m. this morning, than we are at noon. Amen. Glory be to God. Bless your holy name. We sang a song this morning, and there was a part in it I really liked, and I never heard it before. It must have been a new one. And I wrote it down. The words were, "This is reality. Jesus is coming to reign on the earth, and the increase of his government will have no end." I just got something to say about that. I want to tweak it just slightly. This is a truth, it's not reality, that Jesus is coming again to reign on the earth. Here's reality. He left us to reign on the earth until he comes. I think too much we focus on it's going to get better someday. When this life is over, then. No, eternity starts now. Amen. It's already been going. When we're born again, we are transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That is not only truth, but it is reality. That is our reality. And I want to talk just a moment today on bringing truth into reality. Okay? But it's going to take me about an hour to get there, so just sit down. I mean, wow, what happened to the Chiefs yesterday, huh? I am so glad that we are always on the winning team. Amen? We're always on the winning team. I want to read a long passage of Scripture. What's that? Oh, yeah, they lost. They lost ugly. That was sad reality right there. Wow. Okay. This is in Hebrews chapter 10. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But he, that speaking of Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting. Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice one time for all sin. Amen. At the right hand of the Father now, waiting. See, this is a whole other area the body of Christ, I think, has turned upside down. I don't know how many times I've heard, I'm just waiting for God. What are you waiting for? He already did everything. That's what the scripture says. He's already done it. Look what he's waiting for. He's at the right hand of the Father and he's waiting. What's he waiting for in this particular passage? He's waiting until his enemies be. I got new lips and I got a new tongue for Christmas and I'm breaking them in. Just breaking them in. It's gonna. Hopefully, it won't take a while. She interpreted my tongues. Huh? Right on it. Yeah. Okay, let's do this again. He sat down at the right hand of God. He's waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. Well, how's that going to happen? Through us. That's reality. He left us to rule and reign with him until he comes back. And guess what? When he comes back, we're going to continue ruling and reigning with him. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sin and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Thank God we don't have to drag a bull or a goat or a pigeon into the temple any longer. He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. I love that about the blood of Christ. The only powerful, may I say, drug that can clean our conscience. Any other man-made drug only temporarily blinds us to it. But the blood of Christ completely cleanses our conscience of all guilt, fear, rejection, you name it. Wow. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Notice that he includes the assembling together as part of our worship. Last week, I talked just a little about worship. Worship is a huge topic, and we could talk about it a lot. But I mentioned it, and at the end, I just want to encourage you, those of you that weren't here, if you haven't listened to it or watched the video, by the way, we are video. I am having a lip and tongue issue. Videoing our services and putting it on the website. So if you want to watch later, one of the benefits about that, not only the visual, is the camera's picking up the audience a lot better than just my microphone as well. And then the audio recording is still out there on website, podcast, and what have you. But the main reason I really felt like the Lord wanted us to talk about that is to return to the truth of what worship is. Worship is a lifestyle to be lived. It's not a song to be sung. And in a very large way, I believe, the church out there has cheapened worship and brought it down into music and the song part of the service. And that's part of our worship. It's not that we shouldn't do it, but that is not worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Jesus never talked about music in worship. When he talked about worship, what did he say? We must worship how? In spirit and in truth. He never even talked about music. Didn't talk about singing. As far as we know, he only sang one song, and that was a hymn right after they had the Last Supper. And so we have elevated that to a very big part of our existence, and it's we don't see it in the New Testament living. Romans chapter 12, what it says, talks about worship. What's worship? When we present our bodies, our life, as a living sacrifice. Okay, it's not just the singing aspect of it, but spirit and truth, our bodies, it's our lifestyle, it's how we live, it's how we interact, it's how we raise our kids, it's how we treat our spouses, it's how we treat our bosses, it's going to work every day. It's all of the things. It's growing in Christ's likeness, and we are our spiritual worship to the Lord, presenting our bodies to Him, our whole life, our minds. I don't want to preach the whole service from last week, but just wanted to, and here's why I really believe, because I believe the Lord wants, He's asking the question, who and what are we really worshiping? Who and what are we, and who are we going to worship in 2018? Who or what are we really going to worship? Because we are created to be worshipers. Every human being has been created to worship. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are going to worship something or someone. That's just because it's part of who we are. It's part of who we are. But who are we going to worship? I want to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Wednesday, in our Ecclesia prayer, Dale brought up something he saw last week, and I'll just put Dale on the spot. If you want to know, you can ask him. But the topic was healing. It was about healing. And then Scott had some things to say about that. And I was captured again and just trying to listen to the Lord about healing. I'm going to talk about that today. And healing's a huge, huge topic. And I did a long series on healing, but you know, it's been almost a year ago. It was February into March last year. And certainly today, healing's another topic that is so huge. But I want to talk about it. But I want to talk about it in the perspective of, like I mentioned a moment ago, and that is bringing a truth into reality. Bringing a truth into a reality. And so in Matthew chapter 6, it is Matthew 6. In verse 9, beginning with verse 9 here. Now, Jesus was talking about prayer. We all know, you know, we've called it the Lord's Prayer, and it's an outline, a guideline for prayer, some elements of prayer. But if you've never done this, I want to take a fresh look at something he said. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, just like it is," I added the word just, "but as it is in heaven." Let's just think about what he just said right there. Why did he say it? What does it tell about his will that he wants to happen? Verse 10, let's just focus on verse 10 for just a few minutes. Verse 10 doesn't say, "God, would your kingdom come?" It's not an ask, it's not a question. Matter of fact, everything he said here is more in a form of a decree. And he's telling us, he's not saying, "Just a minute, guys, let me get this accomplished for you." He's saying, "I want you to decree this." To decree what? We're just going to focus on verse 10. Your kingdom come. This is not your kingdom come when this age is over. It's now. How do I know it's now? Because Jesus, and even before him, John the Baptist, when he was preaching, one of the things he said most often, and Jesus did the same thing, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's now. One of my favorite sayings, it's a confusing saying, but I love it. It is, but not yet. And what do I mean by that? The kingdom of God is, but it's really not fully come yet, but it is now. It is right now. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. And so he's telling us, I want you to decree that God's kingdom come now and his will is accomplished now in this life at this moment, just like it is in heaven. Now, can we agree on this, that God's will always gets accomplished in heaven? Can we agree on that? I mean, we have a story of an angel that tried to, you know, work around that, and it didn't last long. His will always gets accomplished. So what does this tell us about the heart of God? God wants, and Jesus wants, his will to be done all of the time. His kingdom rule. He wants us to live, and I quoted the scripture earlier from Colossians, when we are born again, he transfers us from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We didn't go anywhere in the natural, anywhere in the physical, but spiritually, we are transferred to a whole other kingdom. There's a whole other kingdom reality. What I just said was truth, but it may not be our individual reality. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. In my life, in our life, in our families, just like it is in heaven. Not, you know, kind of like it's in heaven, just as it is in heaven. This is a powerful decree. His kingdom truth, where his kingdom, his will always gets accomplished. That's truth. But Jesus says, I want you to decree this as a prayer for it to become a reality in your life. I'm about to come out of my skin. What was a Powerball? Was it 507 million or some crazy? 540 million. It was a big number, whatever it was. That would be over $500 million. That's a lot of money. What if you were told that all you had to do is run over here to Quick Trip and buy a ticket, and you would win that $500 million? What if Best Buy said, hey, between noon and 1 o'clock today, everybody that gets in line by 1 o'clock gets a free iPhone. Yeah, some people don't want an iPhone. No, I'm not doing that. Be praying for you on that situation right there. What if you wanted a degree in a certain area of study? And the way to achieve the degree is you had to go to school. That's the negative part. And you have to pass the classes. We'll just call it a 4-year degree. You had to go for 4 years. You had to pay your tuition. You had to study. And if you're like me, you had to study twice as hard. But you were guaranteed that if you showed up, You studied, you did the work, and you got passing grades. You were guaranteed a degree at the end. And the degree is what you were wanting. That's truth. If you go to school, do your work, pass, get passing grades, you'll achieve the degree. That's truth. But how do you make it a reality in your life? How do you make that iPhone come into your life if Best Buy is giving it away? How do you make that $500 million if you were guaranteed that winning ticket? How do you make it a reality in your life? It's truth, but it may not be a reality. We do what we have to do. We respond to truth, and it becomes reality. You know what I just described? Faith. It's just, that's what faith is. Faith is not just, I just believe it's going to happen. I just believe I'm sitting on the couch and I'm eating ice cream and I'm, you know, watching soap operas, and I just believe I'm going to get that degree one day. If I confess it enough, uh-oh. Is this making sense? I think we get stuck in our Christianese and our Christianity of, and really we step very close and sometimes over the line, I believe, into a witchcraft. I mean, hey, it would have been great if God looked down and just said, wow, Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit. I mean, it's just a total mess. Jesus, I don't really have to send you. Let's just, it's done. I'll just speak the word. That would have been great. Jesus wouldn't have had to come. And it'd be great that as soon as I was born again, God just moved his hand over my head, and all of a sudden, you know, all the revelation I have now, I had right when I was born again. That would have been great. Actually, if I had more, it would even be better. No, but the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. The Bible tells us we have to renew our mind and change the way we think. God's just not going to download it. Bam, it's all over. We have to do that. We have responsibility. When we're born again, our spirits are instantly brand new, birthed, breathed into, just like he did with Adam, changed. Recreated in his image. His DNA on the inside of us. But we have this. That we have to change the way we think to line up with the truth for it to become a reality. So we can begin speaking what is truth. We can begin responding to what is truth for it to be manifest and become a reality in our life. I'm going to have to shorten this. Man's disobedience, you know this, man's disobedience caused a curse and for death to reign. But Adam and Eve abdicated their authority and handed it over to another. See, that's a real power of sin right there. We abdicate our authority and we turn it over to another. And we wonder why we can't get the victory. Of all, so much of the word of what God promises us. Thank God for his mercy in all of this. Spirit of death was released over the earth. But thank God he made provision. I want to just hone in on healing, physical, mental healing for just a few minutes. And then maybe we'll come back and touch on this again. But let me repeat this. It is God's heart and it is His will that His kingdom rule, that truth of His kingdom rule and His will always getting accomplished, become a reality in our lives. We are moving as an age to that reality over the whole earth. That's where this whole age is moving that way. It may look very dark here, there, all over, all this, but we are moving as an age that Jesus is going to be. But He's left us to rule and reign. And He said 2,000 years ago, decree that His kingdom come and His will be done on earth. Not in heaven, on earth. And His will be accomplished in our life. Now, I don't have to tell most of you this, but God's will is for us to walk in healing. I don't have to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you that anyway. You know why? Because if Jesus said, pray that God's kingdom come and His will is done on earth as in heaven, there is no illness or sick wards in heaven. There's no cancer there. There's no heart disease, no diabetes, no epilepsy, no any of those sicknesses or diseases in heaven. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be supplied. So His kingdom reality. Sickness, there's not a sickness even mentioned in the Bible until Abraham. And when Abraham and Sarah, was it with Pharaoh? It says that, is that the, when they took Sarah, remember? Abraham's like, here's, you know, here, just say you're my sister. And they took Sarah, and it said that sickness, ill plagues came to that. That was the first mention of sickness in the Bible. We go, I think it's almost 15 generations, something like that, before death is mentioned in relation to a sickness or an illness. So we've got to change the way we think so we can have what God says we can have. I've said it for years. Well, everybody's got to die of something. And it isn't so. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Matter of fact, it's very, very evident. It's almost like when He created the heavens and the earth, and it said after day one, and it was good. And after day two, it was good. And after, He just kept repeating that and repeating that. When you read in, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, no, it's in Genesis. When you start reading all the generations right after Cain and Abel, and there's a generational list, and it says they died. And the next one died. Next one died. It's over and over, and they died. Doesn't say they died of a sickness or a disease. But when somebody did die of a sickness or a disease, it says they died of a sickness or they died of some kind of disease. And we have to bust out of our experience, our earthly natural experience, and decide that we're going to believe what God said, even though our experience, it counteracts or contradicts that. We've got to choose. Are we going to live by our experience? Are we going to live by everything that we taught, even things that I feel or think? Or are we going to live by the Word of God? Man shall live how? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not by our experience, not by our emotion, not by whatever everybody else, it happens to everybody else, not by every other preacher or every other speaker. When I talk about healing, I'm cautious because I don't want people to be condemned or feel less than in any other way. Our bodies are not redeemed, but one day they will be. Death, the Bible tells us, death is the only enemy that's left. And Jesus will take care of that. But He's made provision for it already. And that's being raised from the dead. God's already made provision, both in the first covenant and the second covenant, for sickness and disease. He already made provision for both of those. And it's so important in this particular area that we get... Here's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about healing, is because I didn't believe in it for years. I didn't. I never saw people healed when I prayed for them. I never saw too many people heal. Oh yeah, you know, people got healed of a headache, or never really saw it. I was living by my experience. And I would tend to listen to the negative preachers that would kind of negatively talk about healing, and they're out there. Because they live by their experience, not by what the Word of God says. And we can have, as believers, we can have almost whatever we want. We can have the fruit of the domain of darkness, or we can have the fruit of the kingdom. We can. Romans 8:2, I'm just going to quote a few scriptures for sake of time. Man, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of what? The Spirit of what? In Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So we're set free. From the law of don't just think of death as just one instance when your body begins, your heart stops, and that's not death. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and that life more abundantly. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Death is a law that has been put out. It's the curse that causes sickness and disease and corruption. That's the spirit of death that we are set free from. How do I know that? I got another scripture for you. 2 Peter 1:4. He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises so that by them you might become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Am I at a funeral?
Hallelujah.
I hope so, because I hope somebody's dead garbage theology is dying. Deuteronomy, the Lord will remove all your sickness. That's old covenant. That's old covenant. And as a matter of fact, I'm hurrying now, okay? I'm going to spit some scriptures out. Isaiah 53:4-5, you all know this, probably quote it better than me. Surely, 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 our griefs, that's a poor English word. Because the word grief here in Hebrew means our sicknesses, our illnesses, our diseases, and our maladies. The first thing mentioned, Isaiah prophesies, says, our illnesses and sicknesses and diseases He bore. This was before Jesus came. It's Isaiah. It's His first covenant. Isaiah's prophesying what's to come. And our sorrows He carried, yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But He was pierced through for our sin and rebelliousness. That's what transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities, our guilt and punishment. The chastening of our well-being, our shalom, our peace and our completeness fell upon Him. And by His scourging we are
healed.
Well, sometimes. Well, sometimes. Well, if you're in the right atmosphere of anointing, maybe.
We're having the right person to pray for.
Yeah. You are healed. And here, second covenant. That's the new covenant. Matthew chapter 8 quotes what Isaiah says, but look at this. This is to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Did I say Matthew 8:17, new covenant? He Himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Oh my. Oh gosh. I wish I had another hour and a half. Yeah. 1 Peter 2:24, He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. Now I know most people take that passage a little bit out of context because he wasn't just talking about physical healing. He's talking about being healed in our being. It's talking about salvation. You read that in context. However, our salvation, part of the provision of our salvation is physical healing.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Surely, our illnesses and sicknesses and diseases and our anxieties and our maladies, he bore on the cross. Why would he do that? So we don't have to. Bless you. So we don't have to. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Part of that is divine health. I'm not going to be sick in heaven. Our bodies are still not redeemed, so therefore our bodies can still contract things, but God made provision. There's still these, you know, little germy things out there and little stuff that floats around, and there's toxins, and there's all kinds of environmental things, but God's made provision. God has made provision that we can be healed and walk in healing. Now, I'm just going to close with this, just a little bit. This is just such a great topic to talk about in depth. This isn't doing justice to the whole thing. If I can just take maybe 5 minutes just to kind of close this up with some practical things about healing. I am not the one that reads 1 Peter 2:24 and says we were healed, that I'm already healed if I'm sick. Because that, if I'm sick, if I've got something going on, it's not a lack of faith to say, I'm sick. There's something happening in here. To cross over and say, oh, you don't want to say that, that enters into a witchcraft.
Thank you.
No, there is something that's attacking my body, but God's made provision for it.
Amen.
And I'm not choosing this sickness, I'm choosing life.
Amen.
God says, I put before you death and life, choose life. It's the blessing or the curse. I kind of messed that up. Choose the blessing, choose life. But it's got to be our choice. And too many believers just believe, well, if God wants me to be healed, he'll do it. Just like, you know, I'll wake up one day. Thank God, that could happen. It's not normally the way it happens. But we have to choose it. There's a truth. The truth is God does not want you sick. He's made provision for your healing. So how do you bring that truth into reality into your life?
Amen.
And that's the point. And this is the principle with everything. God wishes none shall perish. He sent his son. He did everything possible for salvation. Well, then how come not everybody's saved? And you know there's believers out there that believe that? That everybody's saved and everybody's going to heaven? Because God already did it? No. The issue is receiving what he did. It's making a choice by an act of our will to receive it. I choose healing. That's my choice. If I get sick, I choose healing. Now, I've got a pattern in my life, and I don't get sick very often. I'm even just talking about a flu or a cold or something. And here's a pattern that I still have to work on, but I've been working on this to break. When I start to not, like, you know, you get those, like this time of year, people, you know, when you get flu or cold or something, you start to get those body aches. You ever feel that? And you kind of feel that headache and that certain headache pain. It's like, uh-oh. You know what I'm talking about? Well, here's a pattern in my life. It's like, oh boy, I better do this and I better just go late and I better do. My mind naturally wants to go to the natural. And not to the, so I've had to force my mind. My first thing is, no, I'm not going to accept this. But here's the thing. God heals in many different ways. I can do this. I can call a friend and say, would you pray for me? But the thing is, how does God, it should not be a question with us that God wants you know, has already provided healing for us. The question is, how does he want that healing to manifest in our body? And that's why it's so important to know the voice of God. Now, we have certain ways. You know, you anoint with oil, go to the elders' church, anoint them with oil. We pray, pray. If we don't know anything else to do, we can always declare the word of God over our life. We can always pray. But or spit on somebody. Oh, punch him? Yeah. God doesn't want me healed that way, but maybe to... Yeah. And so it's how, and I got a lot of stories, personal stories on that, but all of you have heard those. But it's that. But where we kind of get stuck in Christianese church stuff is just praying. Sheree, just be healed in Jesus' name. That is nothing wrong. I mean, but maybe God is saying something else. Let's not forget in the area of the death, the spirit of death and curse being released in the earth. How did that happen? That caused sickness, disease, and illness? By eating a food they shouldn't have eaten. Why does God go into he talks a lot about food, especially in the old covenant. Eat this, don't eat that. Did he do it just to put restrictions on us? You see what, and hey, guys, I'm talking from a very weakened state because I don't like food. I absolutely love food. And I'm one of the only ones in my biological family that like everything. Like I do. I like everything. I don't eat any innards of any animal. That's like, I don't know. But any kind of food, I like it all. I love food. So this is an issue for me. Okay? But there's certain things and quantities of certain things. We have to have... God has designed our bodies to function a certain way with certain nutrients and vitamins and things. You know, think about this. When God created us, he didn't give us meat to eat at first. I'm not talking about being a vegetarian. No, no, no. But what I'm highlighting is the importance of vegetables, things grown from the ground. It's all in the Word. There's a way, there is a lifestyle of eating and living that helps propel us in a healthful state. It's just, that's just the way God created it. So, if you got, you know, diabetes and you just keep eating all of this stuff that you shouldn't be eating and expecting God to heal you, I mean, that's insanity. Really. But you know, many Christians are doing those kinds of things. I got this cough. Matter of fact, this happened, and I've told you the story. Came to my wife. This lady's got this cough. She came up here, right in this room, up here, and asked Renee, I got this cough. Would you pray for me? And Renee told me later, she goes, like, she smelled like a chimney. How about we start with not smoking? Let's pray for you to not smoke. And maybe then we can, because it's not just you got a cough. Something caused the cough. Let's go to the root issue and deal with the root issue so you don't have the cough anymore. There's toxins and chemicals that we use, maybe in your job, around your house, that God wants to give you away. Hey, stop using that. That thing's making you and your dog and your family sick. But way Christians are wired, it's just like, I just got to have somebody pray for me. No, stop eating that. Stop drinking that. Drink more of this. Eat more of that. And stop using that chemical. And you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of practical application to all of this. So starting there, the second thing is, just know for a fact. If you don't already know, you got questions in your mind about whether God wants to heal. I don't even like saying it that way because he already made the provision for it. He's not going to bring it. It's already done. We just got to receive it, walk in it. We got to make that truth a reality. But if you have an issue with whether God heals or not or doesn't want, get into the Word. Don't let your experience dictate how you believe. Don't let the word of, and this is something else that this has been highlighted in our congregation for years, but this is another thing I think that is so important for this time and this hour and this year, is we've got to get back to the word, the foundation of the word of God. There are so many things out there, all this stuff happening, but there is a truth, and we're going to bring the truth of the word of God into a reality into our life. Whatever process that takes in your life personally or with your family or whatever. But to know that God, there's healing provision. And the voice of God. The voice of God. Knowing that God's voice, how is he speaking to us? How does he want that healing to be manifested in our life? It's not if, it's how does he want to bring it? I've had times before where, you know, my heart was racing. I was actually diagnosed with atrial fibrillation 2 different times. And the first time it happened, my heart was racing 180 beats a minute. I bent down to clean out my thing from my pool, my skimmer, and I thought I was going to pass out. And I heard the Lord's voice, call the hospital right now. And I did, and I went. Sometimes God will say, go to the doctor. Go to the hospital. But what is God saying? My knees, when I had the MRI, and the doctor said, man, you don't have, what's that stuff in there? Yeah, it was my meniscus is what it was. He said, it was so painful, I couldn't hardly get out of my truck, I couldn't mow the yard, I would collapse. I had a flap, I had a tear, I had a piece flapped, and he goes, man, it is bad, we got to get in there and clean that out. And here's something else that motivated me, it was money in that. And I was like, okay, well, that would be an easy way, but I don't have really the money. I don't want to spend, you know, the money because I didn't have, you know, the deductible was so high. So that helped force me to say, well, God, how, you know, let's just do it a different way here. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with you. Let's just do this a different way. And the Lord said something that would go counter. The doctor wouldn't tell me to do this, but God did, because it doesn't make sense. He goes, I want you to go to the gym, and I want you to start working that knee out. And then I want you to do something else. I want you to start speaking to it. Guys, I couldn't hardly walk. It was bad, wasn't it, there for a little bit of a time. There was no way I can get on my knees. I can do it all now. I can run. I can do it. I didn't have, you see what I'm saying? But it's how God wants to do it. Those kidney stones that I spit out, like 5 in a row, I had 5 babies, man. 5 of them. Don't tell me men can't have babies. I had babies. And I got picture to prove it. That thing was like this, I'm telling you. No, I'm just kidding. It felt like that. They're painful. And the Lord, you know, you're praying, and the Lord said, do this. I want you to start taking magnesium, and I want you to start taking, what was that other thing? Vitamin B6. And I'm a saltaholic. I'll just confess it before you now. If it's got salt on it, I'll eat it. And the more the better. And he said, I want you to cut back. Thank God he said cut back and not quit. I'm really thankful. He said, cut back on your salt intake. And then the second thing, it was just like my knee. He said, I want you to start speaking to that, to your kidneys, and tell it. Now, this was a family. This is a generational curse. My brother's got kidney stones. My mom's been dealing with kidney stones most of her adult life. She's still got them today. And I'm like, I'm not taking this. I am not taking this family curse. I got a different daddy. I got new DNA. I got different blood in me. I'm not receiving this. There was something on my father's life. The atrial fibrillation came from, it was my father's thing too. That's a generational curse. You don't have to take what your parents have or hand it down through the bloodline if you're born again. You don't have to. You can if you want. You can if you want. You can have it, but you don't have to. Because we have to decide we're going to live by the word of God. Not what the doctor says, not what our experience has said, not what we've been putting up with up until this point in our life. What does the Word of God say? I started doing those things with about my kidney stones. It all stopped. I haven't had one since. Haven't even had a pain that felt like a kidney stone. How many of you have had kidney stones before? They're horrible. They're horrible. That pain was a great motivator to do something about it. Yeah, Bill.
Something spicy.
That's what the doctor said? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Bless you guys. Father, we just thank you so much for your provision, your kingdom provision, which there's so much more than just healing, but thank you so much that you've provided healing for us and health for us. God, I pray for our congregation that we would have wisdom in the things that we're putting in our body, the things that we're dealing with, the different chemicals or different things that we may be using at home, in our workplace, whatever it might be. Father, that you would give us wisdom there, that we would hear your voice very clearly, Father. God, I pray for our faith level to rise to a new level, specifically in this area of healing, that healing is the children's bread. We are free to eat from this healing, Father. Thank you for providing it. Thank you that this is a doctrinal issue that went to the cross, that it was dealt with. This is not just a peripheral. This is a cross issue. It was nailed to the cross. And I thank you for that, Lord God. Jesus was never sick. He only had it when it was placed on him so he can deal with it on the cross. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We honor you. I pray for each person that might be dealing with a sickness, a disease, an illness today that is in this room, maybe watching by tape or a part of our congregation that's not here, that are dealing with certain issues. And I pray that their faith would not fail them, that they would grow strong in faith and strong in grace, that they would know the word of God, they would hear the voice of God, and that they would respond accordingly. So we pray for them, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that this congregation and Father would walk in complete and total divine healing and health in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We should not settle for anything less than that, in my view. We should not settle for anything else. Love you guys. Bless you. Have an awesome day. Have a wonderful life. Enjoy. Yeah.